That was Radio Gaga, the Live Aid by Queen. And welcome to Kitchen Counterpoints. I'm Sean.
I'm Tuesday, Sean's mom.
And this is our very first episode of Kitchen Counterpoints on Voice of Vashon. My mom and I planned this show as a podcast, and the idea is just for us to get together and talk about things that we talk about. But here on Voice of Vashon, we'll be doing it with some musical accompaniment. And started off with Radio Gaga as our first song, because that just sounded like fun, starting our radio show.
Yeah.
But we're going to be playing music today from road trips that we had when I was growing up, and just the music that we would listen to most often. Given that it's a theme of road trip music, I figured we would do it the way we listened in the car. So when we were riding around going to the beaches of Oregon, we would have CDs in the car, and we would put on a Queen CD or Presidents of the United States of America, and we would listen to that whole CD and then listen to the next. So we're going to continue with some more Queen, starting with Bohemian Rhapsody. Again, this is Kitchen Counterpoints, and we'll be back with some more conversation.
Reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy.
Because I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low.
Anyway, the wind
blows. Doesn't really matter to me.
Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. It just begun, but now I've gone and thrown it all away. Mama, ooh, didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again this time tomorrow, carry on, carry on.
Galileo,
Galileo, Galileo, Galileo,
Figaro,
Magnifico. I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy.
goodbye from a poor family, sparing his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Bismillah, no, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah, we will not let you go.
Let me go!
We'll not let you go.
Let me go!
We'll not let you go.
Mamma mia,
mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me, for me, for me.
Thank you.
And we had Another One Bites the Dust by Queen. Before that, Bohemian Rhapsody, more Queen. And both of these are songs that we would listen to all the time on our road trips when I was growing up. And I have personal reasons why I put Another One Bites the Dust in there. We're going to listen to some Weird Al later. Mom, how do you feel about these songs?
Well, I love Queen. You know that. I can listen to Queen all day. And even this song, which is not my favorite Queen song, but that's because it evokes a memory of the 80s. And I was kind of a 80s disco widow. So your sister's dad was really into disco, and he was gone most nights. And it's just, there's not very many of those songs that I feel that way about, but this is just kind of one of them that was just always on the radio and always associated with the clubs that he frequented.
Okay. So would you have been hearing these songs on the radio when you were taking car trips too?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Especially Queen, you know, and Queen was one of those songs you just turned up as loud as possible. When I was about your age, I had a Fiat Sport Spider. And I had, there was a short period where I had a job that put me on Highway 101 right along the beach for about 30 minutes. And I would just, it usually took me about 10, 15 minutes to get from one place to the other because I had to go as fast as that little car would go.
Right. And then listen to the full song before you got out at the end.
Yes, I would sit in a parking lot and wait for the last note. Especially if it's Queen.
Right. And Bohemian Rhapsody, I mean, it's a long song, but it just brings back so many memories for me. I mean, growing up, we had the road trips and we would be listening to that probably on 101, but up here.
Plenty of times, yeah. Because
when you mention 101, you're talking about down in California.
Yes.
Yeah. So 101, that'd be the
Orange County area.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the same highway we would take when we're going down to Oregon.
Or Westport.
Westport. I spent a lot of summers at Westport, but some of my like happiest memories as far as our road trips and our surf trips that we would go on was the trip that we took down to Oregon. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was such a nervous kid growing up. I had trouble, you know, going out. And so most of our trips would just be us bodyboarding. Mm-hmm. And that was the first trip where I felt like I really got out and met all of these other kids. There were just
all the campsites.
Right, all the campsites. There's a big forest in between the campsites.
Yeah, the one in Oregon. Yeah. You stayed there the longest. Yeah.
Okay, that's why I remember it so much then. Because I remember having friends that I would go meet up with in the morning after, you know, sleeping in the tent. And we would just run around the woods for hours.
Yeah.
And then come back and put a wetsuit on and go out and do some bodyboarding. Or Bill would try to teach me to surf. And then of course, you know, as I got older, I watched Wayne's World because I had not watched that as a kid, but then growing older and watching that and that whole scene of them singing Bohemian Rhapsody and Garth mouthing the words to it. I just love that whole scene.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one.
So do you have any, that's kind of my favorite. I was going to ask if you had any favorites among our road trips.
That one was really important. And I mean, one, you might not know this, but the biggest reason we actually arranged for it to be 3 full weeks and rented a car and everything, because it was soon after Bill and I got engaged. We hadn't gotten married yet. And Bill wanted to get to know you. And
And then I ran off in the woods. And
he didn't need it. He didn't need that, right? What he needed and what he wanted for you and for him was to have time away from all of the BS that he knew we were going through, and just let you be a kid,
right?
Right, and be there.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, and a big part of, you know, my memories of it are me and him going out and attempting to surf. Yeah. And I mean, even though I was never good at it because I was afraid of the deep water, I never felt that from him, you know, that it was like he wanted to go do his own thing. He just, you know, wanted to help me through it as long as I wanted to keep going.
Yeah.
And then when I decided I didn't want to keep going, he was okay with that too.
Do you remember the last time you tried to surf?
The last time, I don't think so.
Okay, we were at Westport, and we were there with one of your female friends, and you were in a wetsuit, and you had gotten really tall, and you were almost too big for the wetsuit you had, and you were out there, and you were, Bill could see you were struggling, and he's like, you know, Sean, you don't have to do this, and you go, but it's what we do, right? And Bill's just like, no, dude, we do it because we just, you know, you don't have to do this.
Right.
And you were so relieved, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, I always enjoyed the bodyboarding and, you know,
so much fun.
Any of the camp activities, you know, once we were back to the campsite and we were lighting a fire, it was more of the types of things that you and I connect on, all the writing, telling stories.
Telling stories, the Sasquatch.
Yeah, every story has to become about Sasquatch at some point.
It never starts as Sasquatch.
No.
Mom always tries to start it as a real story.
Right. And then someone goes through a path on the woods and there's Sasquatch. But when you're out in the Pacific Northwest, it's easy to see how, you know, people have come up with those types of stories over the years, because you see eerie things and hear eerie things from the woods, and it kind of just makes it less scary. I mean, I don't think I was scared at that point of the woods growing up here all my life, but it just gives that kind of lighthearted
woods feeling.
Yeah. But it makes the spooky fun.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah. So we'll talk a bit more about the road trips that we took, and we've got some more songs that were, you know, some of the family favorites. I'm going to start that with Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles.
Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, I say it's all right. And I say, it's all right.
as you can, you know. Tune in, but it's all right. That is, I think it's not too bad. Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real, and nothing to get hung about. Strawberry Fields forever. Always know sometimes think it's me, but you know I know when it's a dream. I think I know, I mean, yes, but it's all wrong. That is, I think I disagree. Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real, nothing to get hung about. Strawberry Fields forever. Strawberry Fields forever. Strawberry Fields forever.
I must.
Okay, so that was I Must Not Think Bad Thoughts by X. Before that, we had Strawberry Fields Forever by the Beatles. And starting off that set, we had Here Comes the Sun, also by the Beatles. Here on Kitchen Counterpoints on Voice of Vashon, I'm Sean.
And I'm Tuesday, Sean's mom.
And today we're talking mostly about our road trips when I was growing up, our trips out to the ocean and the music that we would listen to on those car rides. Here we're going to talk about everything from road trips to spaceships. But today we just thought we'd start it off on a soft note and kind of let you get to know us. The Beatles I put in there, I mean, they are someone that we listen to all the time, whether we were in the car or just at home. And
especially the White Album.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Strawberry Fields Forever. That one actually always reminds me of a backpacking trip that we did. And it wasn't called Strawberry Fields. I think it was called Strawberry Point.
Strawberry. Yeah, yeah. The one on the peninsula.
Yeah. And that was when I was really young and you were leading Pathfinders.
Yeah, that's way before Bill time.
Right. Yeah, that was probably my first backpacking trip ever.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't carry my own things. I was carried for that trip, most of it.
You were only about, oh gosh, four? I didn't realize you were on that trip.
Yeah. Yeah, I was carried by the guy that was helping you run the Pathfinders.
Right. That wasn't a backpack trip though, it was a camping trip.
Okay.
No, we wouldn't take you backpacking. That was when we camped in Mount St. Helens and we went to the Ape Caves.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to go back
and
there quite
four.
A bit.
3 or 4. You were really
right.
Little.
I guess I pictured it as a backpacking trip because for me, it was a lot of walking.
Yeah.
And I was being carried.
You fell asleep on his, what was his name? I can't remember his name. You fell asleep on his shoulders and your head was just on his head. And it was so adorable. I should look. I might have pictures of that somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a great trip. That was fun. That's the first time I took you on a Pathfinder trip, too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So for me, it's like I have very little memories of it, but it was kind of an important point of starting my adventures outdoors.
And I think you think of it as Strawberry Fields, as the Strawberry Point one, because your sister, that was her first trip.
Oh, okay.
And she wasn't quite old enough to be a member of Pathfinders. You had to be 14, I think. Is that right? Anyway, she wasn't quite old enough, but she begged every day. Begged me to take her on the next trip. And so I did. And I believe that was the first one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, Pathfinders is the religious Girl Scouts, right?
That's one way to look at it. But it was, we didn't separate the boys and the girls.
Right.
There were times when I sure wished we did. But
Did you do badges and everything?
You had a sash and badges and the whole nine yards. Yeah. Awesome. I had mine for a long time, but.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Yeah.
Well, it got purged.
Right. Yeah. So, Strawberry Fields Forever, definitely one that always comes to mind with the Beatles. And then Here Comes the Sun, that actually reminds me of kind of a short road trip that you weren't on that I did when I was canvassing.
Ah.
We drove out, I was doing environmental canvassing, mm-hmm. and we went out to North Bend. And we almost never went out that far because it was, you know, a long drive and you'd get out there and only have a couple of hours to knock on doors and ask for signatures and contributions. But we went out there and it was a storm. It was a literal storm. We would knock on doors and people would actually tell us, it is not safe for you to be here. You need to go home. And people were, you know, usually in that area, very open to what we were there to talk about. But on that day, they just were concerned about our safety. And a few of the other members in my group did go back to the car and wait. And I had just gotten promoted, so I was the new assistant director, and I felt like I needed to show that I was going to put the work in. So I kept going, and eventually I got back. They had gone to a restaurant nearby, and I walked over to the restaurant and met them there, just completely soaked. And I remember on the car ride home, we were listening to music, and one of my friends, David, put on Here Comes the Sun, and we all just started cracking up just because of the difference between what we were experiencing
and the song
and how lighthearted it was. And it also, you know, it triggered that memory mm-hmm. of our road trips because we did listen to so much of the Beatles.
Yeah.
So I really love that. Those are kind of my, you know, strong ties to the Beatles. But you have a different experience with the Beatles from when you were growing up.
Yeah. The first time I ever heard the Beatles that I can remember, that I can identify as a memory, is when I was 13, and I actually wasn't the Beatles. It was the Wings. So, you know, I grew up in the 70s. And the Satanic Panic, and everything about the Beatles was supposedly bad, and so I wasn't allowed to. I wasn't allowed to listen to most rock music, and even the Wings was something I listened to clandestinely. Right, I had to hide it. I was raised on Mozart, Bach, and Beethoven, which is okay. That's good music. And I, you know, I played the piano and I studied music for a long time. And, I honestly cannot tell you the first time I heard a Beatles song. I cannot remember it, but Bill loves the Beatles, especially the White Album. And so I've learned all those songs since then.
Yeah. So. We'll have to have Bill on at some point as a guest speaker. I mean, just for his memory.
I know, it's crazy. He'll hear a song, and if it was a song that was written before like 1985, he knows the song. He knows who did it first and who covered it. He knows the year it came out. It's crazy. It's just like he's a savant.
Right. Well, and I've asked him before about how he, you know, puts those memories together. And it's just the music. Just when he hears a song for the first time, it sticks into his brain in a way that is unlike anyone I've ever met.
Yeah, and that's what I do. Sometimes we'll put on like a Pandora station that's like the Stones, and they'll play all this other music in the same era. And I'll just say, you know, song, come on. And I'll go, okay, where were you? What were you doing when you first heard this song? And he'll tell, and then I get a story because he's got the best stories, but you have to sort of like cue him up.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So those ones are always fun. I thought we would get some in that are a little more fun. Just super lighthearted.
What about X? That's out of nowhere. You should explain that.
Well, that was your addition, really. So, I mean, you know, a lot of these songs are songs that immediately came to me, but you really wanted to include I Must Not Think Bad Thoughts. So what is the memory?
That was the first time I heard that. I knew Bill loved X, and I had gotten him a CD, X CD, for Christmas, I think, or his birthday, something. And we hadn't listened to it yet. And we listened to it the first time on that Oregon trip.
Long
3-week trip.
Gotcha.
And we all three just loved it. And we listened to it repeatedly.
Right.
You know, and you might not remember it as vividly, but
I know that's the song that, you know, anytime I listen to X, that's really the song I know by them.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's fun. It's a little bit more,
it's subversive.
Right.
And it's indicative of kind of our relationship with Bill and how he introduced us to so much music that we had never heard of before.
Right.
You know, and it was almost like both of us sort of got cued into the rest of the world and like all the lights came on. I know for me, that was my experience. So, but anyway, that's the X song.
Excellent. So I wanted to play a few more songs before we kind of get into the last part of our conversation for today. And these are going to be from the Presidents of the United States of America. I'm going to start it out with Lump, and that one will come back around as well when we do our Weird Al parodies at the end. So here is Lump from Presidents of the United States of America.
Lump said hello. She's love, she's love, she might be dead.
heard you on my wireless back in 52, lying awake intent and tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Ow, ow.
They took the credit for your second symphony, rewritten by machine on new technology. And now I understand the supernova scene.
That was Video Killed the Radio Star by the Presidents of the United States of America. Before that, we had Lump, also by the Presidents. And these songs got into our rotation a lot just because of how fun they are. Really, the themes of our road trips were just being happy. And these were the songs that made us happy, that we sang along to. So I think you can just talk about that for a minute, just kind of the importance to you of keeping our experiences and our memories focused on that happiness. What is that kind of, you know, why is that so important for you?
Well, we were going through a hard time. My divorce from your dad was rough, very rough.
Right.
Shared custody was rough.
Yeah.
The weeks I didn't have you were rough. And so we both just really wanted, we set everything between us aside on the weeks we had you, and we just found ways to focus your attention on joy and sharing the joy we shared together, Bill and I, with you. And Bill loved you. I mean, he was a 50-year-old man when we got married. He had no children.
Right.
You were it.
No plans to have
and
children.
No future plans for more children. No, please no. But you were it. You were his kid. And you brought us Presidents of the United States of America.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Bill knew about them and he liked them, but he was a big grunge. He was really into the Seattle music scene.
Yeah.
And he was into grunge and he was into, what is X? What is that music genre?
I don't know.
It just escaped my brain for the second.
Probably
punk. Good. Punk rock. He was really into punk rock. And so, so you, I think your friends introduced you to some like Weird Al and also KEXP.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Right? We listened to a lot of KEXP.
We listened to a lot of KEXP. That's where I learned to appreciate Johnny Cash.
Oh, okay.
Which is a whole nother story.
Yeah.
But anyway,
we'll do a whole show on that.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just music and comedy are so healing.
Right.
You know, and that was the point. That was the intent, was to be as healing as possible for those times you were with us.
Yeah. And Bill was there when we were kind of talking about this whole set of music and the songs that I wanted to play. And I just wanted to bring up his comment about that last one, Video Killed the Radio Star, because he threw out a line and it was just that. It was just a throw out kind of comment. But he said that somebody should do something on AI killed the video star.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've just been thinking about that since he said it. I mean, it would make a great, you know, kind of Weird Al style parody.
It would.
But also, I mean, it's just so much of what's going on right now. Have you seen the new AI actress?
I have not.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
She hasn't done any movies yet, but there are these videos out there that show this woman doing things that look like they could be in action films. It's kind of put together to present what she could do. So it's not an actual movie, but there's these weird little scenes. And, you know, of course, Hollywood is very concerned about it. With you and I being aspiring writers, the AI conversation has been there for a long time.
Yeah.
Since AI came out, that's been part of the writing conversation.
Yeah, big, too big.
Right. And I don't know, personally, I don't feel too concerned about people writing AI because it gets found out. It's not as interesting.
It's just bad writing.
But I mean, you've experienced some of AI getting in the way because editors use it to go through your stuff. And I mean, is that a concern for you that AI is kind of here at this time when you're trying to put stuff out there and that's a roadblock?
Yes and no. My reasons for writing, I think, you know, I think if I was supposed to be, you know, making a living at it, yeah, that would be a different kind of conversation.
Right. Cool. Well, so yeah, that's the show this week. We're talking about road trips and the music that we listen to on road trips. We also like to get into other conversations, and probably down the road we'll do a whole episode about AI or other similar tech that's out there. But to end this show, I wanted to go back to a couple of the songs we've listened to. We listened to Another One Bites the Dust by Queen, and we listened to Lump by the Presidents of the United States of America. Now we're going to hear Another One Rides the Bus and Gump by Weird Al Yankovic. Thank you for joining us. This has been Kitchen Counterpoints on Voice of Vashon. I'm Sean.
And I'm Tuesday, Sean's mom.
Thanks for listening.
On the boulevard, and the place was pretty packed.
Yeah.
I couldn't find a seat, so I had to stand with the perverts in the back. You were smelling like a locker room. There was junk all over the floor. We're already packed in like sardines, but we're stopping to pick up more. Look out! Another one rides the bus. Another one rides the bus. And another comes on, and another comes on. Another one rides the bus. Hey, he's gonna sit by you. Another one rides the bus. There's a suitcase poking me in the ribs. There's an elbow in my ear. There's a smelly old bum standing next to me. He hasn't showered in a year. Well, I think I'm missing a contact lens. I think my wallet's gone. And I think this bus is stopping again. I'll let a couple more freaks get on. Look out! Another one rides the bus. And another one rides the bus. And another comes on, and another comes on. Another one rides the bus. Hey, he's gonna sit by you. Another one rides the bus.
Yeah.
Another one rides the bus. Another one rides the bus. Ow! Another one rides the bus. Hey, hey! Another one rides the bus. Hey, 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 hey. The window doesn't open and the fan is broke and my face is turning blue.
Yeah.
I haven't been in a crowd like this since I went to see The Who. Well, I should have got off a couple miles ago, but I couldn't get to the door. There isn't any room for me to breathe. Now we're gonna pick up more, yeah! Another one rides the bus. Another one rides the bus. And another comes on, and another comes on. Another one rides the bus. Hey, he's gonna sit by you. Another one rides the bus.